And we're holding Chavtes Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. So now the Mishnah is going to be completely shifting gears. And we're going to be talking about the mitzvahs that men and what mitzvahs are men chayev in and women not, versus which ones are both them chayev. What is this Mishnah doing over here? There's a few different explanations. Among them are that the Ritva says, since at the beginning of the Masechta, we've been talking about how power woman is miskadish, ha'isha nichnas b'shalosh drachim. So now we're going to talk about the fact that the father has a responsibility to see to it that his son is married off, which is going to be one of the things that we're going to list in the Gemara, that the father is responsible for his son. And once we're mentioning that, then we're mentioning the other chiyuvim that the father has to his son, and things go from there. The Pnei Yeshua says differently. He says now that we've talked about all the things by which a person acquires things in Olam Hazeh, now we have to talk about how a person acquires Olam Haba through mitzvahs. So therefore, we talk about the various categories of mitzvahs. And Hamakna says, even more interestingly, he says, now we're going to be talking about how the things that Hashem acquires in this world, which is going to be when a Yid does mitzvahs, then that's an acquisition that Hashem made in the world. And in fact, it connects the things that we're going to have in the Gemara that the father has to do for the son. He connects with what you have in Pirkei Avos, this past Shabbos, Kamisha Kinyonim Kona HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamai. And he ties those with the things that we're going to mention in the Gemara. The father has to mal his son. That corresponds to Avraham Kinyan Echad. He has to do Pinyan Aben. That corresponds to that Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and acquired us as Bnei B'chol Yisrael. And so forth. He goes through all the five things that we're going to list in the Gemara that the father has to do for the son, and shows how they relate to the Chamisha Kinyanim. So that's another reason of what this Mishnah is doing over here. Now that we talked about people acquiring things, now we're talking about Hashem acquiring things in the world. So the Mishnah says, Kol mitzvahs haben al ha'av, all the mitzvahs of the father on the son, and we're going to see what the, all the mitzvahs of the son on the father, rather, and we're going to see in the Gemara what that expression means. Anoshim chayovin v'noshim p'turois, men are chayovin those mitzvahs, women are potter. V'chol mitzvahs ha'av al ha'ben, whereas the mitzvahs of the father that are on the son, echad anoshim v'echad noshim chayovin, both men and women are chayovin those. So we'll see in the Gemara what those mean respectively. Continues the Mishnah, V'chol mitzvahs eser sha'azman groma anoshim chayovnim noshim turis, any mitzvahs eser sha'azman groma, so any time-bound mitzvahs, so that includes things, so it doesn't include all of them. We know, for example, women are chayav to keep Shabbos. That's for a different reason. That's because we're going to learn later on in the parak that this rule applies only to mitzvahs eser shazman groma that are not tied to a loisaser. When it comes to Shabbos, you have the loisaser, loisaser from halacha, and women are actually, we're going to say later in our Mishnah, women are chayiv in such mitzvahs, so therefore, along with that, they're also chayiv in the mitzvahs asay that goes with it. With that said, actually, when it comes to kiddush, there's actually a bit of a suffix about that, but to what extent women are chayiv. But anyway, the point is, therefore, when it's a pure mitzvah eser shazman groma, so for example, a classic example is aliyah l'regel, which the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, women are potter from. And you have many other examples that are scattered throughout Shas. Tefillin, for example, once it's established that tefillin are worn only by day and not by night, and only on weekdays, not on Shabbos, then it's a mitzvah eser shazman groma, and women are potter from it, and many other examples. Anyway, so men are chayav, women are potter. V'chol mitzvahs eser shaloy azman groma, any mitzvahs I say that's not time-bound, echad ha'anoshim v'echad ha'anoshim chayobin, both men and women are chayiv in such mitzvahs. Then, v'chol mitzvahs loy seser, when it comes on the other hand to mitzvahs loy seser, ben shazman groma, ben shaloy azman groma, whether they're time-bound or not, echad ha'anoshim v'echad ha'anoshim chayobin, those both men and women are chayiv in. So, for example, that would include Shabbos, that would include, for example, not to do malacha on the various Yom Tovim, not to eat on Yom Kippur, not to eat or do malacha or what have you on Yom Kippur. All of those are time-bound, but women are higher than them. And the same thing with all the other lois, says, chutz, with the following three exceptions that women are potter from. Mi bal takif, the first one is, the Torah says, that a man is not allowed to round off the corners of his head, meaning to shave off his payas, where the idea is, as we learned in Masechta Nazir, that's called rounding off in the sense that now you have a straight line from the front of the head to the back of the head, uninterrupted by the payas. So women don't have that mitzvah. They're allowed to shave off their payas. So it's machlokas haposkim, whether what about if they shave off a boy's or a man's payas, would they be over on that? Depends whether we say that the issur of Baal Takif includes just themselves or doesn't include others as well. We did have in Masechta Nazir where Rav Huna's wife used to shave off their kid's payas, and one of the other chachamim criticized Rav Huna for that, and it had very unfortunate consequences. So that would suggest that maybe they're also to do that, but it's not so simple. Anyway, Baal Tashkes, the second mitzvah Sloisa said that women are potter from is Baal Tashkes. A man is not allowed to destroy his beard by shaving it off. Again, if a woman does grow hair on her chin, she's allowed to shave it off. And the third one is about the tamal amesim. The third one is don't become tummy mess, meaning a kohen is not allowed to become tummy mess. The wife or the daughter of a kohen is allowed to become tummy mess. And we're going to learn later on, eventually in the Gemara, we're going to learn how we know all these things, how we know women are potter from mitzvahs eser shazman grama, how we know they're chayev in mitzvahs lois eser shazman grama, and how we know these three exceptions, etc. We're going to discuss all of that later on Daf Lamed Vav, on Daf Lamed Dalet and onward. So, the Gemara starts off. My kol mitzvahs ha-ben ala av. What does that first expression in the Mishnah mean? All the mitzvahs of the son on the father. Does it mean, ilay makol mitzvahs de-mechayev v'rol mebed la'aba? Does it mean all the mitzvahs that the son, that the child is obligated to do for his father? And that would be the mitzvahs of kibud av, and moira kibud avraim and moira avraim to honor them and to fear them, which we're going to talk about those mitzvahs in a little more in much more detail later on. That's lamed aleph lamed beis. You're going to say that's what they're talking about. Noshim turis. So what do you mean women are potter from such mitzvahs? Vahatanya, we learn in a brisa when the pasuk says ish. The pasuk says ish imay v'aviv tiro. A man should fear his father and his mother. So ainli ela ish. So if you only had that, you would think that it means only men are chayev and kibud and murder. Isha minayin. How do we know that women are chayev as well? Ish ish imay v'aviv tiro hare kan shnayim. But no, since the pasuk continues tiro u in the plural, then that means that it includes two, so it includes both the man and the woman, so both of them are chayev in kibud and moira of avraim. I should, by the way, interject, Hashgacha Pratis today is a day of extra kibud av for me. It's my father's yahrzeit, so this should be le'ilui nishmas tovya ben chayim. Anyway, so we see, therefore, that, so what are you telling me in the Mishnah as a blanket statement that women are potter from kibud av and moira av? We're going to mention later on, it is true, the Gemara is going to mention later on Daf Lamed Aleph, that not always are women, practically speaking, not always are married women able to accomplish these things because their husband comes first. Nevertheless, when the Mishnah is saying a blanket statement, women are potter, then how could you say that? The fact is, unmarried women and women who it doesn't interfere with their marriage are just as chayev and kibud avraim and moira avraim as men. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, halachi kamar. So Rabbi Yehuda says the expression kol mitzvah sa'av ala ben means kol mitzvah sa'av ben ala av rather means the other way around. It means kol mitzvah sa'av ben hamutolos ala av lasos. Means all the mitzvahs that the father was responsible to do for his son. So kol mitzvahs haben, all the mitzvahs that involve the son, al ha'av, which are incumbent on the father to get done, all of those are noshim chayavim v'noshim turis. Then men are chayav, women are potter. Where tanena lahod the tananabanan. By saying that, therefore, we've learned in, so now we can quote a brisa, which is going, now we've learned briefly in a Mishnah what it says in more detail in a brisa. That's going to list out these things. And the point is, when we do that, when we have a tenein alahad etanan abanon, means we can rely on that brisa and we can accept it lahalacha. If we didn't understand that the Mishnah was telling us that the obligations that a father has for his son women are potter from it, then we would have said this braisa that we're going to quote now, maybe it's not a limited hilchasa. But now that we understand that that is what the Mishnah is telling us in brief, now we can accept that this braisa that we're going to quote, which is going to give the details, is in fact a limited hilchasa, and we do follow it lahalacha.
Because
it's hinted at in the Mishnah with the expression kol mitzvah sa'av ala ben. And then saying that anoshim chayav, kol mitzvah sa'av ben ala'ad rather, and saying anoshim chayav and anoshim turis. So the Braisa says, Ha'ab chayav ibnoi, a father has the obligations on his son, and all of these are dafka the father. We're saying the mother doesn't particularly have these obligations, as we're going to go through each one of them in the Gemara. Lemuloi, he has to mal him, he has to arrange for a bris milah for him. There is actually an interesting point. The Urzarua, famous Rishon, says that if the father himself knows how to mal, he's not allowed to delegate it to somebody else. Shach discusses this in Yeridaya, and there's considerable discussion about whether that's so or whether he could, in fact, even in that case, delegate it. Most of the time, of course, the father doesn't know how to, and therefore he delegates it. But we see when a bris is done, the father officially appoints the moyel as a shliach and hands him the knife, so that way the moyel is doing it on behalf of the father, because essentially it's the father's mitzvah. Anyway, the muloi, he has to mal him, relif doisei. He has to do pidyon aben, or the lamde Torah, he has to teach him Torah, or la siya isha, he has to arrange for him to get married, so he has to arrange for the shidduchim and to arrange the wedding and all that, or the lamde umnus, and to teach him a trade, to teach him something to be able to do for a living. Keep in mind, of course, you know, you could have the umnos itself could be Torah, se umnose after all, although that's very uncommon. But nevertheless, the point is that he should have some way of earning a living. In fact, at the end of the Masechta over here, we're going to have a whole discussion about that point, what kind of jobs are good and which ones are not so good. And you have Reb Nahiroi is going to say, Maniach ani kol unius shva'olam, I would set aside all the crafts in the world and teach my son only Torah. So we'll get to that, Bez Hashem, when we learn at the end of the Masechta, we'll talk about there's a sicha on that, and there's all kinds of interesting things on that. Anyway. The yesh omim afla hashite b'mayim, yesh omim that also the father has to teach his son to swim. Because, what if one day he's on a ship which sinks, then it'll save his life. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda omim, kol she'enim alamadus b'noi umnus malamde listus. Anybody who doesn't teach his son a trade or a craft, he's teaching him listus. He's teaching him to be a robber. So they want to ask listus, sakadat. What do you mean? He's not actually teaching him robbery. As if he's teaching him robbery, because if he doesn't have a job, if he doesn't have any way of earning money, then what's going to happen when he's short of food? He's going to go and then start robbing people. Now, the Gemara eventually, on Lamed Amud Beis, will discuss what exactly, it's a nice, cute vote from Rabbi Yehuda, but what is he adding to what the Tanakhama said? The Tanakhama already said you have to teach him umnos. What is Rabbi Yehuda adding to that, or in what way is he disagreeing? We'll see about that in the Gemara. Okay, so now let's go through these five things and see how, for each one of them, how we know the father is chayev, and for each one of them, how we see the mother is potter. Because that's the point of the braisa, and again, that's what's being briefly stated in the Mishnah, that kol mitzvahs are ben ala av, on noshim chayev and noshim turis, so we have to deal with that. So lemuloy menolon, where do we know that the father has a responsibility to see that his son is mild? Yichtim, as the pasuk says, "Vayomel Avraham et Yitzchak b'nei." Avraham made a milah for his son Yitzchak, and the point is, among other things, that we're learning from the fact that it says b'nei. The Pnei Yeshua points out a couple of different ways. What's exactly the limud is, for one thing, because it says b'noi. If it had just said v'yamal Avraham et Yitzchak, you could argue equally well that he's doing it not because the Gemara is going to say next that if the father doesn't do it, then Beis Din is responsible to see that it gets done. You could argue Avraham is the local Beis Din. But because it says b'noi, then the pasuk is showing us that it's a chiyuv on the father primarily. Next, the heicha d'vaymale avuha. If the father did not mild him, then the Beis Din, or not really even the Beis Din just stands for the rest of the Jewish people. They have to mild him. And by the way, there is a distinction that a couple of the Mefarshim make between why is the father not mild him? Is he just saying I can't be bothered to get around to it, or is he saying I absolutely do not want to be mild him? If it's just that he's saying I don't want to get around to it, then we shouldn't necessarily have Beis Din be responsible as in they have to pay the moil and all. Why should we impose that cost on the tzibur just because the father was lazy? Asking the Yosef points out. So therefore what we mean is where the father says, I absolutely do not want to. So therefore that based on has to step in and they have to pay the moil and so forth. But if the father is just lazy and doesn't want to, and Basin will force him to do what he needs to do, and he'll pay for it. So Mechayev Beit Din Lamimale. So then the Basin is responsible to Malim. Dichtiv Himoy Lachem Kol Zocher, as the pasuk says, circumcise for you in the plural all males. So that implies that's a chiyuv on you plural, meaning the tzibur, meaning the Basin representing the tzibur. The hecha de le male beidina, what if the beistin did not do it for whatever reason? Then he's responsible to see that he himself gets a bris. Dichtiv, oral zocher, asher lo yimos. Psara los evinichasa, as the pasuk says, a male zocher, or a male oral who does not circumcise the flesh of his orla will get kores.
That even goes on the mother.
No, so the word ihi means the mother, but that's the next piece. That ihi belongs to the next sentence. So therefore we see that he has an independent chiyuv on himself to get himself a bris milah if his father and the beis din didn't do the job. Next, ihi menolon deloy mechayva. Where do we see that his mother is not chayev to do it? Dichtiv kashet tziva oisoy elikim, because the pasuk says that Avraham mal Yitzchak, as Hashem had commanded him, and the word oisoy is extra, so therefore means oisoy v'loy oisa. It means he is chay, he was commanded, she is not. Tosfos wonders, why do we even need a mute for that? I mean, actually both, Rashi mentioned something else, but why don't we say it's a mitzvah esa shazman groma? So therefore women are potter. Now, Meforshim explain, we don't mean it's a mitzvah esa shazman groma in the sense that it begins only on the eighth day, because it continues for men for the rest of his life. So there's no deadline for it.
Every day you don't mal, you're over.
Every day a person is not mal, he's over, fine, but the point is, Tosfos says, since it's from the eighth day and onward, now, the fact is, you do a bris milah only by day. So therefore, that should also make it a mitzvah sasher shazman groma. However, Tosfos says there is an opinion in the Gemara in Yevamos that we've learned that says that mila shaloi vizmana could be done by night as well. The halacha is the mainstream halacha is not like that. But the yevid, if a mila shaloi vizmana was done by night, then afterwards we do our tachas dam bris. The point is, according to that opinion, it wouldn't be a mitzvah sasher shazman groma. Therefore, we're looking for a source that says that she's potter. Elsewhere, Tosfos points out another point as well, which is since mila is a mitzvah that involves kares, that there can be kares, as we just said, if a person doesn't get a bris mila, then we would think that's a much stronger kind of mitzvah saseh, and maybe women should be chayev as well, and therefore maybe the mother should be chayev to see to it as well. So we have to figure out how we know that it's not so. There's more on this as well. The Ritva points out the Chiddush is, given that we just said Basin is responsible, you would think, well, that means, in other words, so every Jew is responsible to see that a baby has a bris, and maybe the women are included as well. But we're saying because of Oisoy, then not. No, because that's the thing. Mm-hmm. The Torah didn't have to say the word Oisoy at all. But it said, Tziva Elikim. We know already from earlier Pesukim that Hashem commanded Abraham. Therefore, it means that Hashem commanded him, not her. There is a discussion elsewhere in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah whether women can do a bris milah or not. On the one hand, they themselves don't have a milah. On the other hand, they're part of the Jewish people, and the Gemara mentions over there, Isha command the mehila dom. It ends up being a suffix. So in practice, it says in Shulchan Aruch, where there's men available, a woman should not do a bris. But where not, you have various examples, including well-known examples from the Holocaust and earlier from the times of the Hashmonaim, and all where women did do bris milahs for their sons. So they certainly can do it, but we're saying they're not chayav to do it. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon miyad. Okay, so that takes care of, we know that in that generation, when Hashem was speaking to Avraham, then the mitzvah was specifically on him and not on Sarah. L'dordas menolon. Where do we know the same thing applies in future generations, that the men are chayev and that the women are, that the men are chayev and the women are potter? And that the fact that the men are chayev, actually, the posit clearly says, Shita l'neud l'mi, points out, the posit says, after the zarecha acharecha l'doraisim. So it's very clear the chiyuv is on the fathers in future generations as well, but where do we know that in future generations the mothers are potter?
We see this question out of place in Sada.
No, because here we're talking about, there's a mitzvah seser shazman groma, and in each case we need to, or maybe it's not, that's as Tosfos said, maybe it's not, but in each of these cases we're saying women are potter, so we need to know how women are potter. So the answer is tonet veda bishmol kol makom shenemot tsav, because whenever it says in the Torah tsav, and here you have the kashet siva oisar lekim, which is the same shirdish, eina elo zirus mi yadu ladurus. The word tsav is an expression of encouraging a person to be quick, zero, that a person should be quick to do the mitzvah, miyad, in that generation, ula dordas, and in future generations. Zero is dechtiv, tzavas Yeshua v'chazkeu v'amtzeu. We find Hashem tells Moshe, command Yeshua and strengthen him and encourage him. So we see that the word tzav means to tell him to be quick to do, and to be quick and to be eager and strong to do his job. As the pasuk says, from the day that Hashem commanded and onward throughout your generations, so we see that the word siva is miyadu l'doras. So therefore, when it says kashet siva oisay lekim, then that means the oisay, the fact that it applies to men and not to women, applies in that generation and also in all future generations. So that is how we know that the women are potter from Bris Milah. So again, doesn't mean they're not going to be involved, of course, but it means they don't have the mitzvah to see to it. If for whatever reason the father is not making a Bris Milah, there's no specific mitzvah on the mother any more than there is on the rest of the Jewish people to see to it that it gets done. Okay. Next, Lifdoisei. We said the second thing a father has to do for his son is to make a pidyon aben. So again, the same thing. Menalon, first of all, where do we know that he has that obligation? Because the pasuk says, you should redeem all the firstborn of your sons. So therefore, so that's clear that it means the father has to do it. So if the father did not do the pidyon aben, then the son has to, has to make a pidyon aben for himself. Now here we don't go through the intermediate thing of Beis Din being responsible. And again, the Atzmas Yosef says this is based on what we said before, because since we don't want to put a financial burden on the tzibur. That's, we said the same thing as far as paying for the moil before. So it's one thing with Mila, it's possible that the tzibur may not necessarily have to pay the moil. There's not necessarily money involved. But pidyon aben, by definition, there's money involved. Therefore, we're not going to impose it on Beis Din Mechatchila. If the father didn't do it, the son has to arrange it himself. Dichtiv, podei sifte, because the pasuk says podei sifte. Now, there's actually different gersois over here. The Rashi, it seems, had the girsa, and a number of other Rishonim and Achronim also have the girsa, that it's not from the word podei sifte, which we're going to say it's a double expression, and therefore includes yastu, but rather from the fact that the pasuk says tifde, and we can also read it as though it said tipode. Tifde would be an active verb, you shall redeem. Tipode would be a passive verb, you shall be redeemed. So therefore, we would learn from that, because the word can be read without the Nekudis in the Sefer Torah, after all, it can be read tifde or tipode, that would mean you have to be poide, as in you, a father, have to be poide, your son, but if not, then you have to arrange that you, the Bechor, should be redeemed. So that's another way of learning. Next, the Ihi Menolon Delay Mirkada, where do we know that the mother is not chayev to arrange for the pidyon aben? And again, it's a Rashi and Tosfos both point out, just Rashi points out actually, that it's not a mitzvah seser shazman groma. Because again, fine, it begins on the 30th day, but then it continues thereafter. An interesting point in that regard is generally people do a pidyon aben by day, but in principle, al pi halacha, it could be done at night as well. So it's not a mitzvah seser shazman groma. So why should women be potter from it? So the answer is again, tipode tifte. Again, you have this word tifde in the pasuk, which can also be read tipode, and therefore you learn from that that only, that, so, 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 So the word tifter itself means you should redeem. Tipada means you should be redeemed yourself. So therefore, so it means kol shemitzuva lifter sasatzmai, anybody who has a chiyu to redeem himself, to pidyon ben on himself, had his father not done it, mitzuva lifter sasachirim, such a person has a mitzvah to redeem somebody else's son. Anybody who does not have that mitzvah, namely women, where there's no mitzvah, pidyon haben, on a woman who's a bechora, ainam mitzvah liftes achirim, then she doesn't have the mitzvah of redeeming others. Well, the ihi menolan b'lemachayv alamifak nafsha, taka, where do we know that she's not obligated to redeem herself? Which means, in other words, both Rashi and Tosfos say, in other words, that maybe you would say, sure, the father doesn't have a chiyuv to be poured to her, because the pasuk says, kol b'chor b'necha tifteh, but maybe the pasuk is saying that if a woman was born first to her parents, to her mother, whatever, then maybe she has to arrange a pidyon haben for herself. So maybe the verdict would be, a son, the father does it for him. A daughter, she has to do it eventually for herself when she grows up. How do we know that not? So the answer is we do the same drasha with tifta and tipada, but the other way around. If you're tifta tipada, kol sha'achirim mitzuvim lifdoisei, anybody who there are other people who has a mitzvah to be poured to them, namely their father, mitzuvah lifdoisei satzmai, then they have a mitzvah to redeem themselves. But kol sha'ein achirim mitzuvim lifdoisei, if somebody else does not have that chiyuv, namely in the case of a girl, clearly the father does not have the chiyuv, but the positive is kol b'chor banecha, ein mitzuvah lifdoisei satzmai, then they don't have a mitzvah to be poured to themselves. And then where in turn do we know the father doesn't have to? So we have a chain over here. Because the father is not chayev to be poured to the daughter, and that's clear from the pasuk that says, banecha, therefore she doesn't have a mitzvah pidyon haben on herself either, because we learn only when somebody else has the mitzvah on you, do you have the mitzvah on yourself. And because she doesn't have that mitzvah to be poured to herself, therefore she doesn't have the mitzvah of being poured to somebody else, namely her son. So that results in what we said, that only the father is chayev to be poured to the son, because the father himself was, to begin with, the father himself, having been a bechor, his father had a mitzvah to be poured to him, and if he didn't, then he has to arrange it for himself. So therefore, he also has the chiyuv of being poured to the next generation, his son. But a woman, where to begin with, that chain doesn't begin, because her father doesn't have a mitzvah to be poured to her, then the whole thing doesn't continue from there, and therefore she's potter from arranging a pidyon haben for her son.
That also goes on the kahal.
So therefore, well, the kahal is something else. No, because the kahal includes people who, would have had a mitzvah to be redeemed by their parents, and they were or they weren't, and they arranged it when they were older. But again, that's what Yosef was saying. We don't want to impose a financial burden on the tzibur. So if the father doesn't do it, then we just leave it up to the son himself to arrange it. Okay. So now we're going to talk about some dinim in that regard, some dinim regarding pidyon haben. Tanarabon. Who lifters of no lifters? What happens if the father himself needs a pidyon haben? His father hadn't arranged it at the time, so now he needs to arrange it. Of no lifters, and now he also has a firstborn son, and he has to arrange a pidyon haben for him as well. Which one comes first? Who kodem livnoi? So his pidyon haben comes before his son's. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'nei kodmai, Rabbi Yehuda says, the mitzvah to do pidyon haben for his son comes first, sheze mitzvah se'al aviv, v'ze mitzvah b'nei olam, because, Rabbi Yehuda said, the father, the essential mitzvah is really on his father. His father didn't do it, so therefore now it devolves on him. As opposed to here, the mitzvah of pidyon haben of his son to begin with is on him. Therefore, that's a stronger chiyuv, so therefore that should take precedence.
Double, that himself and his son.
Right, that's the point. He has both of them to do, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying, because the mitzvah to do his son is a mitzvah primarily on him, he himself being the father, he has the main mitzvah, therefore that should come first. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hakol Moedim, Hol Heicha Deleta Ela Chomish Sloim. Everybody would agree that where the father in this scenario, only has five sloyim available for pidyon haben, and you need five sloyim for each one individually, so he's not going to be able to do both, there's no question who kodem livnoi, that he comes ahead of his son. My time a mitzvah to gufei adifa, because a mitzvah involving himself is stronger. He himself needs a pidyon haben So therefore that has to go first. Really? And later on, when he earns more money, then he'll do the pidyon haben for the son.
Thing like over here that goes on the father.
Because that's the thing. Everybody would agree. The fact is, the mitzvah of pidyon haben for himself is a mitzvah on himself. That's certainly more of a chiyuv than a mitzvah that he has to do for somebody else. So therefore, no question, says Rabbi Yirmiya, that comes first. Ki pligi heicha de'ika chomesh meshubadim. The machorikas would strictly be where the five on meshubadim, there's land or what have you that there's land. I'm just talking about land because only land can be meshubadim. So there's land worth five sloyim where there's a shibud on it, v'chomesh b'nei chorin. And then there's another five b'nei chorin. So previously, the father had 10 sloyim worth of karka. Before the son was born, he had sold five of it. So now it's nechasim meshubadim, and now he has five that he still owns. So the question is, what order is he going to do things in? Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Milva Dikhtiv Batarik Ksuv Vashtar Danya. Rabbi Yehuda holds, which is a topic that comes up in many places in Shas. We had it earlier in our parak as well. That when you have a loan that's written in the Torah, it's considered as though it was written in a shtar. Meaning, in other words, that a shibud takes effect. So therefore, in other words, this that he has to do pidyon haben for himself is considered a milva that has a shibud, meaning the kohen will be able to exercise his shibud and be able to take away the nechasim shabadim to pay it. So therefore, bahani chomesh parik librei. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says the order you do like this. Start with the five sloim b'nei chorin and use that to do the pidyon haben for your son. You can't use nechasim shabadim for that because, as we learned in Gittin, ein nefroim nechasim shabadim b'makam shiyesh b'nei chorin. Where there's b'nei chorin available, you can't go after shabadim. So therefore, he first needs to dispose of the five b'nei chorin, which he does that by doing the pidyon haben for his son. Then, he said the son goes first. Then, then the Kohen comes and takes the Nechasim Meshubadim for the father's pidyon. And therefore that will work, in other words. And Rashi also adds, it's not considered it's not considered an unfair thing that you're doing to the Lakeach would say, well, why is it my problem just because your father failed to do a pidyon haben for you? Because the fact is, the mitzvah of his son does come ahead of his mitzvah, but he still has his mitzvah to do as well. So therefore, the Lakeach can't say, in other words, well, you shouldn't have done it that way. You should have been poyder yourself with your five b'nei chorin, and it's not my problem that you still have a chiyuv for your son. You'll do it sometime later without getting me involved. So therefore, we don't say that because the fact is the mitzvah of the son is on him, and it's more strongly in a way than his mitzvah. So therefore, it's legitimate for him to take nechasim mishabodim for that.
I have to understand that. One way you say that the chiyuv that's in yourself comes first. Other than you're saying here that he and his son comes first.
So it's. I mean,
where do you draw the line?
The point is, in other words, that at least the mitzvah that we're saying, Rashi uses the expression mitzvahs bnei olav yosim the mitzvah, so that the mitzvah of the son is on him more than his own mitzvah. In the sense, in other words, he's the one who has to arrange the pidyon haben for his son. The initial mitzvah is for himself. So on the one hand, yes, you have the mitzvah on him is stronger in a way. That's why we said it goes. That's why we said that it should. That it should go first. On the other hand, what we're saying is here, where that's going to prevent the other one from taking place at all, because if he uses the nechasim, if he just uses the nechasim b'nei chorin, then there's no basis to take from the mishabodim. Then therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you go in that order, because you can accomplish both of them, because you can accomplish using the nechasim mishabodim. So therefore, you do it in that order. Tosfos has some questions. And Rashi, on the contrary, just like sort of like what you're saying, they should say mitzvahs gufay adir. Fine, redeem yourself first, and you can't use mishabodim for that. So they'll tell and if he uses b'nei chorin, and then there's only mishabodim left, they can say to the kohen, then fine. When it came to the mitzvah of pidyon haben of the son, you could have taken from the nechasim b'nei chorin. Not our problem that you didn't, and instead you allowed the father to use it for something else. Why should we be involved? So rather, Tosfos constructs a scenario where what happens is the Chomesh Meshubadim, Tosfos describes that you have Yitzchak had Nechosim, he made them an aposiki for the Kohen for Yaakov. So he says, I have a son Yaakov. I know I need to do a pinyon aben for him. Therefore, I'm earmarking this piece of property that I'll use it to pay you your chomesh sloim. By the way, you can't do the pinyon aben itself with land. It would mean you have to sell the land and use the money to pay the Kohen. Anyway, what happens is, then he goes and sells that property instead of selling it to give to the pinyon aben to the Kohen. He stam sells it to somebody else. Now, eventually, when Yaakov is older, then he himself has a son. He has Reuven. And now you have, now there's two pidyon abens that have to be done. So now Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, the milvak suvva Torah, the fact that you had an aposiki for the Kohen first, therefore that goes first. I was b'nei Chored, because the mitzvah was originally on Yitzchak's nechosim, because he's the one who made this field an aposiki for Yaakov's pidyon aben. There's no hinachnu l'chamakim, because the fact is there was an aposiki to begin with on this. So the Yehuda is, so that's the scenario that Tosfos constructs, where in that case, therefore, there's no unfairness to the lakuchas, because to begin with, there was an aposiki. Anyway, so that's the Yehuda. Rabbanan savri milvak suvva Torah lav suvva b'shtar danya, whereas the Chachamim hold that just because it says a milva in the Torah is not considered, like it's written in a shtar, so therefore there's no shibud over here. So therefore you're not going to be able to collect from the chasim b'shabadim anyway. The hilchach mitzvah digufay adif. So therefore the mitzvah on him is stronger, since you're not going to be able, unlike in your Yehuda's scenario where you're going to be able eventually to do both. According to the Chachamim, you're not, because they hold there's no way to collect from the chasim b'shabadim. You try to collect from them, the other guy's going to say, where's your shtar? So therefore, given that you all have it's one or the other, then the mitzvah de gufe is the stronger one. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, lifters is b'noi v'lalas l'rego. What if a person has a pinyon aben to do, and he also needs to be oyla l'rego, and he can't afford to do both of them? Poydas b'noi v'achatach oyla l'rego. First he should do the pinyon aben, then he should do aliyah l'rego. For reasons that we're going to explain in a second. Rabbi Yehuda Oma Oyla L'Rego V'Achakach Poydas B'noi. Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around. Shazum Mitzvah Oyveres V'Zum Mitzvah She'ena Oyveres. Because the Aliyah L'Rego there's a deadline. If he doesn't do Aliyah L'Rego in time, he's going to miss it altogether. Whereas Pidyon Aben is open ended. He doesn't do it now. He can always do it later. He's supposed to do it on the 30th day, 31st day, whatever. But he could do it later on. You're not over every day. So the Gemara says, "Bishleimel Rabbi Yehuda kid kamer taima." Rabbi Yehuda, it's easy enough to understand. He's explaining his reason. Ela Rabbanan my taimayu. Why do the Chachamim hold then differently? And the answer is, "De amakra kol b'chor banechatifta v'hoder v'lo yero farei rekam." The pasuk says, "All the b'chorim of your children, all of your sons, you should redeem." And then the pasuk continues, "My face should not be seen empty-handed." So we learn from that pidyon aben comes before aliyah l'rego. Which, by the way, Tosfos Riazokin points out, that would only be said, and the Chachamim would be saying that only as far as this particular case, because the Pasuk says so. Other than that, they agree that a mitzvah Iveres takes precedence over a mitzvah She'ena Iveres. The Magen Avraham gives an example of that in Hilchos Lulav. Suppose a person only has enough money for a Lulav and Esrog, or for Pidyon Aben, it's one or the other. Which should he do? And we're talking about, let's say, he's in a place where he can't borrow somebody else's Lulav and Esrog or whatever. So then, getting a Lulav and Esrog comes first, because that's Mitzvah Iveres, and the Pidyon Aben he'll have to delay until some other time when he has more money. Okay.
It's not like a bris.
It's not like a bris, right. How do we know if a man has five firstborns from five different wives, that he has to redeem all of them? Therefore, the pasuk says, all the bechorim of your son you should redeem. So all of them. So the Moses Pshita, isn't that obvious? The pasuk clearly makes it depend on which one came out of the womb first. Each of them came out of his mother's womb first, so of course he's a bechor. The answer is Ma'ud Tema. You might have thought, maybe not. Nelech bechor bechor minachla. Maybe we should make a gzera shava on the word bechor from inheritance, where they are malahal and reishis oinai, and there the pasuk uses the expression that the son, the firstborn, is reishis oinai, the first of his father's strength, and therefore it depends on him being his father's firstborn son. Afkan reishis oinai, maybe the same thing applies over here. So maybe for pidyon aben, the son has to be both his father's and his mother's first. Kamash Malan, therefore we're saying that no, it strictly depends on the mother, and they, as long as he's a Peter Rechem, then it doesn't matter whether his father previously had other children.
Nachla goes on the mother.
So Nachla goes on the father, and Pinyan then goes on the mother. In fact, you have the Mishnah in Bechoris tells us you have different cases over there. You have somebody can be a Bechor as far as Nachla and not as far as Pinyan Ben, or the other way around. And when it comes to Tainus Bechorim, also it mentions in Shulchan Aruch whether he's a Bechor le Nachla or whether he's a Bechor le Koyin, then he needs to fast or hear a Siyum on Erev Pesach. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, the Lamde Torah, another thing the father has to do for the son is teach him Torah. Minolon, where do we know? Because the Pasuk says you should teach Torah to your children. And the Hecha de Agmere Avua, fine, but the fact is it says B'nechem, so that's the first thing. Wait, we'll see how the women are father. The Hecha de Agmere Avua, if the father did not teach him Mechayev Iulam Migmar Nafshe, then he himself has to learn himself. The Rambam writes, and then the Alter Rebbe explains in greater detail that it means basically when the son grows up and is over by mitzvah, and then he realizes he hasn't had a chance to learn, then he's Chayev to hire himself a Malamed and learn it. Dichtiv, because you have a different pasuk says, Ulamadtem, a different pasuk says, you should learn Torah. The Limadtem would be you should teach. Ulamadte means you should learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Ihi menolam b'lema chayva. Where do we see that the mother is not chayav to do that? So just give, v'limadtem ulamadtem, because the very words v'limadtem osim espenechem can also be read as if it said ulamadtem. Because again, you have the Torah is written without nekudas, and therefore you can douch in the different spellings. The Rosh says rather that it's because we make a hekesh between the ulamadtem osam and shema and ulamadtem osam, which is elsewhere in the Torah. So whatever, the point is, we learn that there's a comparison between them. Kol shemitzuvah lumen, mitzuvah lalamen. Anybody who has a chiyuv to learn Torah, because the father has a mitzvah to teach his son. V'chol she'en mitzuvah lumen, en mitzuvah lalamen. A woman who doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, she has a mitzvah to know, practically speaking, she has to know the things she needs to know. And eventually, that's why schools were opened for girls for that purpose, because the mothers weren't doing a good job teaching the daughters anymore. And the Chofetz Chaim, and we know Sarah Schneer, and the Chofetz Chaim, and all that. The fact is, women don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah l'shma. Their learning Torah is strictly hechsher mitzvah. It's a prerequisite. How can you do mitzvahs if you don't know what they are? Therefore, they need to learn. But not that they have an independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore she doesn't have the mitzvah of teaching her child either. And the ihi menolam b'lem chayv l'melech nafsha. Where do we know that a woman herself doesn't have to learn Torah? So again, we make the same comparison the other way around. Anybody who somebody else, namely their parents, their father, has a mitzvah to teach them, then they have a mitzvah to teach themselves. If the father doesn't have a chiyuv to teach his daughter, then they don't have a chiyuv for themselves to learn either, and therefore they also don't have a chiyuv of teaching their children. So the same kind of limud as we did with Pinyan Aben. How do we know that the father in the first place doesn't have a mitzvah to teach his daughter Torah? Means you have a mitzvah to teach your sons, not your daughters. Okay. Now we learn in a braise some dinim about this, the details about this din that a father has to teach his sons. Who lilmud of no, just like we had with Pinyan Aben, who lilmud of no lilmud? What if the father himself needs to learn Torah and the son also needs to, and the father can't afford to support the both of them learning Torah? Who kodim lugnoi? And then he comes ahead of his son, because again, mitzvah de gufa yadifa, the mitzvah on him comes first. And here he also points out, practically speaking, how is he going to teach his son if he himself doesn't know? So you're right. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, im b'noi zoriz, if his son is quick to be able to learn, to be able to pick up, m'mulach literally means salted or mixed. It means like sharp. There's different explanations why exactly m'mulach means sharp. It means, among other things, that means like he's well mixed, like he's well blended of all the different midos and things that he needs to have. So if the father sees that, then b'talmudim eskayim b'yada, and he sees that the son is learning Torah and it stays with him, he doesn't forget him, then b'noi koidmai, then the father, then the son comes first. Mefoshim discussed the question, is Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing with the Tanakhama, or is he adding a detail? But whatever it is, anyway, so there's a case where the son comes first. And the Gemara gives an example. Ki hod Rav Yaakov, b'rei Rav Acha bar Yaakov. We have the example of Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, shadri avua l'kamei da'abaya. Rav Acha bar Yaakov sent his son, Rav Yaakov, to learn by Abaya. He also, when Rav Yaakov came back, the father of Acha saw that the son is not particularly, has not learned in a sharp way. Like he doesn't have, he's not able, for somebody who learned by Abaya, he should be much more on the ball, and he saw that he's not. Omalei, sort of Acha says, I'm evidently more capable of learning Torah than you. So therefore, Tuvah, you go back and then start supporting yourself, De'ezelana, and I'll go to Abaya's Beis Medrash to learn Torah.
So he was young.
No, I mean, he's young. Pashtus, if he's old enough to be in Abaya's Yeshiva, he's a young adult. Shama Abaya to have a Ka'asi. Now, Abaya heard that Rav Acha bar Yaakov is coming, and Abaya figured he's going to take advantage of the situation. What happened was, Habahu Mazik Be'rabban and Abaya. There was a mazik, which was shed in the yeshiva of Abaya, and it was so dangerous to have either the train, when even two people would go in there, and usually a shed will be afraid of two or more people together, after there being mama, and even by daytime, where again, shadim aren't usually active by day, have a mitziki, people were getting harmed. So Abaya now heard that Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who was known to be a Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, was coming. Then he figured to take advantage of the situation. He's going to have Rav Acha bar Yaakov destroy this mazik. So how is he going to accomplish that? Omalahu, so Abaya tells the people of Pumbedissa, loy leisiv le initial shpiza, nobody should offer Rav Acha bar Yaakov a place to stay. So therefore he's going to have to stay overnight in Beis Medrash. Efshur de Misra Chishnissa, maybe a nest will happen and he'll defeat the shed. Now, how can he say maybe? Was he putting Rav Acha bar Yaakov in danger of the son? Maybe. So the Maharshal explains, he's thinking, I know a nest is going to happen. The question is it going to be an open nest or is it going to be a hidden nest? So therefore, but one way or the other, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is not going to get harmed by the shed. Maharshal says, in a similar vein, he says, the vote is, I'm sure that Rav Acha bar Yaakov is going to defeat the shed, but is he going to do it through his tefillas or in some other method? If it's through some other method, then yeah, it would be that Menachem Lo Mischuyosim. If it has to be that a Ness is done for him, then Rav Acha bar Yaakov's Mischuyos are going to be deducted because of it. But if it's through his tefillas, then that's not a problem. Anyway, so sure enough, Rav Acha bar Yaakov went and slept overnight in that Beis Medrash, Bahu Beir Abanan, in that yeshiva. The Idmi Leketanida Yeshiva Reishivase. The shed appeared to Rav Acha bar Yaakov as a shed with seven heads. The whole Kriya Tekora, every time Rav Acha bar Yaakov bowed, so he's davening Shemana Esrei now and asking Hashem to save him from this danger, every time he bowed, not a Chad Reisha, one head of the shed fell off. And one interesting point is, so, because he bowed seven times, you have four times in Shemana Esrei where you bow, and then at the end, when you say Oseh Shalom, you bow left, right, and center. So altogether, seven bowings, and that destroyed the seven heads. Maharshal gives a whole explanation over here that the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama that if a person doesn't bow by Modim, then eventually his spine turns into a snake. So now, corresponding to that, after seven years, his spine turns into a snake, representing seven different Kirchas HaTumah. So therefore, the vote would be over here that, on the contrary, here he was able to destroy these seven Kirchas HaTumah with his davening, with his bowing. The next day, Rav Acha tells them, Eloi Yisra Chishnis Nisa, look at that, if a Ness hadn't happened, Sakintin, you would have put me in danger. So in other words, he's upset with them that they put him in that situation. So according to Maharshal, the vote is, he's saying, again, they knew to begin with, he's going to be safe. But Rav Acha is saying, am I really such a tzaddik that you thought that way? Or according to Maharshal, that the vote is he going to accomplish it through his davening? Yes, in the end, I accomplished it through my davening, but it didn't necessarily have to be that way. It could have been through a nest without my davening, and then Menachem Lo Mischuyosav, and you shouldn't have done that.
Because
the fact is, when a nest is done for a person, Hashem deducts it from his chosin, so therefore, so... When is it not? So one thing, Maharsha is making the point that if the person accomplishes it through his tefillah, then that's not, in the end he did, then that's not called a ness. But the Abaya was saying maybe even before he davens, a ness might happen. But then Menachem Levi's Chol Yosef, so now he's saying, he didn't want to attribute it to his tefillah, he's just attributing it to a ness, so therefore you caused me that now Menachem Levi's Chol Yosef. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Beth. Shabbat shalom, everyone.